Satisfied by devotion and nothing else. quoting from the Gautamiya Tantra, the Harivatu Vilas, states, Tulasi Dala Mahatanya Jalasya Chalukena Va Vikrinike Svam Atmanam Bhakti Zo Bhakta Vatsala. Translation: Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulsi leaf and a pump of water. Pretty easy, huh? Go get some water and take some tulsi leaf with devotion. The Supreme Lord is causelessly merciful upon his devotees, so much so that even the poorest of men can offer him a little water, a flower, in devotion, and thus please him. This is due to his affectionate dealings with his devotees. End of verse 1. Sudama, classmate of Krishna, who went to the same school, Sandipani's school, and together, although Sandipani was a Brahmana, and Krishna was released by Lila, the son of Vasudeva Devaki, so he was Kshatriya, but the Kshatriyas and Brahmanas sometimes go to the same school and trained by the teacher, and they grew to be very close friends, of course, not just friendship like equals, but Sudama had a relationship both of service and friendship. Sakya Rasa. So he was loving Krishna in transcendental ecstasy. Not as the Supreme Personality, but as his dearmost friend, beloved friend. So after they graduated from school, they parted their ways, and Krishna became the prince. He wasn't actually the king of Dwarka. Gopur Singh was the king. And under Gopur Singh, there were the members of the Yadav dynasty, of which Krishna was the chief member, the chief member. When all the members of the Yadav dynasty would come together in the assembly house, Krishna would receive the seat of honor, although Gopur Singh was the king, because they understood him in Dwarka to be the personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan they didn't understand that, in Dwarka they did. But still Gopur Singh was king, Krishna was prince. That's what happened in Krishna's life after he graduated from school, started finding his school, and then Sudama, being a Brahmana, he married a Brahmani, and he lived a very simple life as a Brahmana. Not so far from Dwarka. And you know the story. He was so poor, he had only one cloth. And his wife was also in the same condition. Concerned as a wife is concerned for the welfare of her husband, she one day blurted it out, "I'm so concerned about your well-being. Can't you do something? I'm satisfied. I have what I need." It's like Prabhupada narrated the story not so long ago, in this century, in Krishna Nagar, which is not far from Mayapur. There was a king, a pay his respect to the Brahmin. And when he saw that the Brahmin was living, he said, my dear Brahmin, I came to pay my respects to you and express my gratitude for how nicely you're training my son. And I can see that you're living in destitution. You're so poor. You have hardly anything. And the Brahmin just says, no, I have everything I need. I have a cow. The school children bring you some rice in the backyard. I have a tamarind tree, some tamarind rice, and some milk, and everything I need. Okay? Everything's okay. Let me go to a house. No, everything's okay. Thank you. He was happy with simplicity, not thinking, oh, do a nice job teaching so I can get a nice house and something more to eat besides tamarind rice and milk. He's happy. Brahmanas, the wealth of the Brahmana, you've heard this before, the wealth of a Brahmana is austerity. That sounds like a contradiction, because austerity means you do without things, and when you do without things, what's your wealth? The Brahmana's wealth is his austerity. Because it's his wealth, because it brings him happiness, contentment of heart. And there's no sense of, I need something. That's wealth. You don't need anything. That's wealth. Even people that are wealthy, they think they need more wealth. They're not peaceful. And a person who knows a life of simplicity and austerity, they have great wealth because they don't need anything. Think about it. So, just like this Brahmana of our current time, Sudama was very, very peaceful. But he understood his wife was in anxiety. Not about herself, her wife was in anxiety about Sudama. The wife was okay, but she was in anxiety about Sudama. So she made a suggestion. Your dear classmate, Krishna, he's now Prince's dwarf. He has so much opulence, 16,000 palaces. Can you please go and make some request to Krishna to something so you can live more satisfactorily? He didn't want to go, but his wife wanted him to go, so he went. And those of you that are married, you know how that one goes. So he said, I can't go and visit Krishna without bearing some gift. But what do we have as a gift? So his wife gathered some pieces of broken rice, put in a little cloth and tied a cloth. Sudama would see Krishna with his broken eyes. Krishna went and asked him anything, didn't he? Broken eyes, any more than he needs water or flour or food. We had this. It was a little frivolous, but it was interesting. We had in our team building exercise in our GDC, this little exercise of charades. We were given a little piece of paper at first, and we were supposed to pantomime something, but you can't say it, but like have the other person guess who you're portraying. So I drew Sudama. So it was really easy. I just took a piece of, made like I had a piece of cloth and put it behind the back. And then you coming before Krishna, Sudama. So Sudama kept it. Krishna worshipped him with Mimi, assisted Krishna worshipping Sudama, my dear Sudama wife. pay your devotee. That, how do you want to think of that? So, anyway, another way of thinking is this is inferior rice. This is suited for you. But like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Raghunath Das Goswami, who was taking the rice that was discarded in the river. You've seen the place by the side of Jagannath Puri Temple. They take the rice, they take all the items that they cook, they distribute to the brahmanas, they distribute to the various servants that work at the Jagannath temple, then they take out to the prasadam stalls, and after some number of days, whatever it is to sell, they come and take it and place it before the cows. It's already spoiled. And when then the cows eat it, there's a place, it's still that place, where the cows are given to the remnants of the Jagannath prasad. And some items of this rice that's so rotten, even the cows won't eat it. That's what Raghunath Das was gathering. And there was the inner part that wasn't cooked, so he washed the outer part that was rotten, and the inner part that was hard, he kept that as his food. Even cows would eat. And cows would eat all kinds of things. So Lord Chaitanya finding that Sanatana Goswami had such rice, he went back to Sudhamudar, stopped him. And this is a tip for you. Oh, Ramanath, you're having a feast and you're not inviting me. That's delicious rice. I've never tasted rice so nice. Don't be a minder, Raghunath. The Lord is pleased by the devotion of his devotee. And here, this is the brahmanas who are worshipping Lord Vishnu, making offerings of very simple things. I mean, in a place like Guyana, how difficult is it to find some flowers? Or some water, or leaves. Or here there's other things that are mentioned. Twigs bearing new leaves. Some of those. Newly grown grass. Lots of newly grown grass. So, as Prabhupada would say, what's the difficulty? You know, that's one of the biographies written about Srila Prabhupada is called, what is the difficulty? Srila Kirti, who was Prabhupada's personal servant for some time, a couple of years, whatever the duration was, he appreciated that Prabhupada made things very simple. Very elevated philosophy, very elevated goal, the Prabhupada made it so accessible. And what Gregory said, what is the problem? It's so easy. What is the problem? That's the title of the book, what is the problem? To acquire the things to offer is not a problem. It's finding that devotion. Make devotion within. But by practicing activities in devotion, that innate devotion awakens, and these brahmins were very qualified like that. In the purport, there's a verse from Gautamiya Tantra, Mari Bhakti Vilas, that isn't quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's the same. Well, at least similar to the verse that Advaita Acharya recalled when he was thinking, this age of Kali is so vast, even here in Navadvipa, that the center of learning, so many brahmanas, so many qualified brahmanas here in Navadvipa, they're all materialistic. they spend lavishly in the weddings of their daughters and their family members and building big houses, and it's just materialistic. Where is the devotion to the personality of Godhead? And if that's absent here in Navadvipa, what to speak of the rest of the world? Because the Brahmins are to guide the rest of the society. If the Brahmins are materialistic, where's society going? Oh, Supreme Lord Krishna, kindly descend only if you personally come. So thinking in this way, in his mind came a verse, because he's very knowledgeable in the scripture, a verse. Now what I would call is the verse is from Padma Purana. I just was researching this. I can't find it. It's not in Chaitanya Charitamrita what that verse is. Maybe it was in Chaitanya Bhagavata. But the verse, essence of the verse is that he who is, same as here, he who is Atmarama, he was full in every respect. He doesn't need anything. He's pleased if offered even tulsi and pot full of water with love and devotion. He becomes obliged. So here in this verse, it's quoted from Gautami Akanta. Says, the translation is, Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, sells himself. That means he becomes the property of a devotee who offers merely a tulsi leaf and a pot full of water. He sells himself. There's a very similar kind of terminology or concept with Lord Nityananda as there's a wonderful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Maybe I don't even know that song. I forget the name of the song, but it's speaking about Lord Nityananda was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to distribute the holy name. So Lord Nityananda set up in the marketplace shops and gave franchises. Specifically, the word is used as similar to franchise. Set up franchises to different people where they could distribute the holy name, like distribution centers for his product, the holy name. And he told them, you have to charge a fair price. And a fair price is one thing, faith. And even a little faith, you can sell the product. Give them your holy name, just for the price of faith. And you get a little profit too, because you're the franchisee. Very interesting song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In this way, Lord Nityananda distributed your holy name, Nama Hatha, just for that term, Nama Hatha, comes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Hatha means marketplace, the marketplace of the holy name. I don't know if you use that term here in Guyana, but Nama Hatha commonly is used by the home program. You have that term here? Do you use that? No. No. It's common elsewhere, Europe and America, Nama Hatha, as a home program, or a home that regularly hosts home programs. Anyway, that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. His Lord Nityananda set up was Namahatas in the marketplace, giving the holy name just for the price of pay. And if that's what it takes to make such offerings of a leaf or flower or fruit or water to Krishna, as Advaita Acharya did, or as these Brahmanas did, to propitiate the Supreme Lord, who they know he doesn't need anything. So the does it matter if you offer some fantastic something or some simple something? If somebody's in Mahajan, they think, hey, this is not a bad program. I have all this wealth. I'll just offer a little flower or a leaf of water. No problem. I'll keep all the wealth and offer that to Krishna. I'll offer a little something to Krishna. That's not good. If one has greater resource, you offer the greater resource. If you don't have a greater resource, that's not a problem either. You offer what you have. Right? Up to as simple as the natural products of nature. One other thing I wanted to share, express in this class is where these take three different cases that illustrate the point of this verse, that by making a simple offering to the Supreme Lord, he reciprocates. But in these three different cases, because the desire, the love in the heart of the devotee was specific, the Lord showed himself in that specific form. Here's the three cases. One is here. The Brahmanas, on behalf of Nabi, were worshipping Lord Vishnu so that he would appear as the son of Nabi. And so he appeared as, from the Yajna fire, as Lord Vishnu. The understanding is that the Yajna fire is Vishnu, and their devotion was so intense, he appeared as Vishnu right from the fire. The second example, already mentioned, is a great Acharya. He wanted the Lord to descend and deliver the pure holy name, deliver pure devotional service to the pure holy name. So he did the same simple offering, and the Lord appeared as Lord Chaitanya. And then another very nice example, also worshipping Shalagram Shiva, was Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was an ardent worshipper of Krishna. He was a Krishna Bhakta, worshipping Shalagram. And he had a very strong desire that he would like to worship Krishna as the other Goswamis were doing, making nice offerings of ornaments, clothing and garlands and things that you can't exactly offer to a Shalagram because he has no form. And so Shalagram appeared as Radharman. Three different examples where the point that they are illustrating is exactly as scripture says, according to Yetam Mantapatyante Tamsatata Rajamyam, or according to the mood of devotion of the devotee, Krishna appears, or the Supreme Lord appears. The gopis, they didn't worship with Tulsi and Pambos of Ganges water, but they worshiped him in their own simple way. And Krishna appeared. And he appeared and called them to come and join him with the rasa dance. And then when Krishna disappeared because they were becoming a little proud, and Krishna doesn't like pride in the heart of his devotee because they were a little proud, that here we are with Krishna. He disappeared. And then he went mad. And they went searching for him. As Krishna paid his trick, he showed his forearm before him. And they came and paid their obeisances. Oh, Lord, we're not. You're a mission, you're the Supreme Lord, you must know where is Krishna. Please tell us which way Krishna went. But then when Srimati Radharani came, he couldn't sustain his forearms because of the intensity of her love. He manifested his two arms for him. So, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifests himself according to our desire for exerting him. When that desire is in pure devotion, Krishna appears in that way, as we so desire. And because the followers of Lord Chaitanya were being introduced very beginning, to the appreciation of Krishna in Braja. Because there are different forms of the Lord. And each of them are fully transcendental, but there's special appreciation for Krishna's form in Vrindavan. Just like in Rupa Goswami's teaching of the 64 qualities. Four of those 64 are unique to Krishna in Vrindavan. Is playing upon his flute in such exceptional way that it steals the hearts of all the devotees. Not just the gopis. When Krishna would play upon his flute, River Jamuna, that was normally flowing, would stand still to listen. And all the rocks and trees and mountains that were normally stationary, they would start to tremble. The cows, their ears, they would be stunned, and their ears would stand on end, drinking the sound of Krishna's flute. All the living entities in the Vrindavan were charmed by the sound of Krishna's flute. It wasn't the normal flute. And so the other three qualities of Krishna that are mentioned by Rupa Goswami, these super excellent qualities of Krishna are unique. And immediately we're being introduced to that by those who are followers of Lord Chaitanya's teachings and Rupa Goswami's teachings. Because it's also the energy of my Bhagavatam, while appreciating the uniqueness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead above all the entities, Krishna is superlative amongst all the forms of the Lord. Okay, so I'll end there and see if there's any questions or discussion. Okay. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada.